Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are reimagining customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Christopher Tompkins.
And we are going to have an incredible conversation today. I've done a little digging on your background, and I just know that it's going to be great because you have such a wealth of knowledge. So let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
My hot take is AI is not your savior. It is your intern. And
okay.
You better manage it like one. So what I'm kind of saying here is something that I've seen through my experience, which is a lot of people, I don't want to say keyboard assassins, but the people that are really powerful when Google is at their behest, and they felt that, hey, when ChatGPT, for example, came in, that, hey, this is Google on steroids. This is everything. Oh my gosh. Look, it can give us, it found 5 great places for me to go to when I visit Rome. Oh my God. It should run my life. It should run my business. Every single thing in there is absolutely the truth, which is total BS. Okay. So I've talked to a lot of my peers, business owners, agency owners, as well as members of my staff. And we're talking about AI and kind of how things work. And I see how people are using it, and they're not using it to incorporate the POV of the experience, or much to what we're talking about, kind of like the customer relationship. It's basically just saying, hey, how do we do this? And following the instructions that are spit out. Now, I know what my customers like, and I know how to deal with my customers. So why am I asking someone who doesn't know me at all to write an email to them, or to write a proposal for them so I can reconnect with them, to do anything like that? Oh, hey, I need a really clever LinkedIn DM to send to my to a client just to reengage. Can you write that for me? And then don't even read it, copy and paste it and send it out. You know, that is not going to sound like you. What it's going to have, that's why I'm saying the intern mention at the top of this is, I would never let an intern write an email to my client. I would never have them write in my voice. Why? Because they don't know anything that I've been through, that I've done, how I relate to clients, what my tone is, if I'm kind of lighthearted, what kind of vernacular that I utilize. And that's all honey to the person that you're trying to connect with, because it's more about having those really human connections with your clients and your customers, rather than having like a fast result that helps you move on to the next task. Because then what you're doing is you're not prioritizing the relationship you have with your clients. You're prioritizing your task list. And that, again, is BS. Like, I don't like that. And AI leads you towards that easy dopamine hit of, wow, to-do list is getting done. Oh my God, I wrote a blog in 3 minutes. Wow, it's terrible. You know, there's a little bit more that you have to put into it. So what I say is, my hot take is, AI is not going to be your North Star, but it's going to help you shape it as long as you help shape it. So much like your customer relationships, you need to be investing into your relationship with your AI assistant. I know it sounds weird to a lot of people, like, why would I want to invest in that relationship? It's less about that and more about sharing your learning. So if you had an intern that was joining your company or someone entry level, what would you do? You would talk about your history. You would talk about how you deal with clients. You would download them on all of the things that they need to be successful. So why are you not doing it with AI? Because you're using it like a search engine. And now you're using it like an ATM version of The Secret. This is not how AI is really meant to work. And that's not exactly where I think you can get the most juice from that berry. Once I, from my own experience, once I started kind of really diving in and really looking at it as an assistant that was working with me, my life changed, because the answers that I were getting in the things that it was, the output was much more of a higher quality than anything that I'd ever gotten before. And over time, it gets better and better and better and better. When it never gets better is if you just accept it on face value at what you're giving to it. So I think that going back to the hot take, it's not your savior. It's not like, oh my God, I had no time to do this. And now it's all done instantly. That can only be a statement if you've put in the hard work and training it to give you exactly what you want. And that, what happens if someone gives you something that you don't like, that you're paying their wages? You say, I don't like this, and this is why. Can you redo it? Why aren't you doing that to AI? Why are you just accepting it? Why aren't you looking at the resources it's giving you? Ask for resources if you're doing some research and check it and see if it's for real. I've seen it before with clients. They gave me, one client gave me a blog and said, hey, I just wrote this blog. And I looked at it and I was just like, no, you didn't. But I read through it and it was wrong. The information was wrong. The stats were from a study that was like 20 years ago. And that was the main substantiating data for the whole piece, which was meant to re-engage customers that they haven't talked to in 6 months. What better way to go after a relationship that's gone cold with outdated data that you're presenting as fresh? Give me a hug. I mean, it's, come on. Right?
So I love the idea of training your AI like you would train an intern. Because as you're talking, I'm like, okay, what do you do when you onboard an intern? You tell them about how your company systems work and what your workflows look like. You talk about your clients. You maybe even have them shadow a few meetings and sit and take notes in the corner, right? You bring them into this conversation and you don't just like throw them and be like, I know you just graduated college, but you know what? You're now the lead communicator, the point of contact on our most important client. And we see this play out, not just in like when AI is in the background, but I had a conversation with someone who worked in like brand marketing, and all of this money that goes into like brand curation and your spokesperson and, you know, hiring A-list actors to be the face of your commercial and the face of your brand. And they spend millions of dollars on that process and lots of testing and rounds of like iteration. And yet we're slapping an AI chatbot on our website, which is often the first point of contact. The first person, if you will, that your prospective customers will meet is your AI. But there's a big difference in the experience that people are seeing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think that if you really do put in the work and you do understand it through that lens, you will get better results. You know, it does have a lot of shortcut elements that are very helpful, but only once you get to where you need to be with it. So that if, for example, a really great test, if anyone's out there, if your AI really knows how you would do something or what the brand, how the brand would respond to a customer, put a customer question in that you do not understand and ask it to translate that and see what it comes out with. Because, for example, it could come out with something that is pretty much spot on and it could help you. So here's the thing. If it comes out with a result that makes you go, huh, that's a different way of looking at it. Winner, you're doing good with your AI. It's working with you. It's challenging you. It's helping you. But if it's giving you kind of like a stock answer that you would never do because you've spent all this time with your customer service reps saying, don't talk to people that speak in a human manner. Don't use these types of words and don't use this kind of vernacular because it makes you seem like you're offshore, not here, not available, not listening, automated. And that really does give you some insight as to where you are. Like even say like, how would Christopher Tompkins answer this question? And see if that answer is how you would answer it. Now, another thing that I've found is like another stumbling block with the use of AI is you're asking it to do things like, for example, let's talk about scripts or scripts for bots. If you're getting them to do scripts for bots, you know how long those scripts can be, guys. I mean, it is like there's like five questions, but then the tree goes like this and there's offshoots and it's a big, big journey that you're creating. So what happens is when it is created for you in 30 seconds, you want to give it 30 seconds of review. And then you push it through and it's wrought with issues. It's wrought with a lot of different things. When you are cutting down on the content creation part and element, not the review. So you have to spend more time on the review and then give the feedback that will make AI stronger for you in the future. So that's something that's really key because I find that like much like that client that I was telling you about with the blog, about a few weeks later, they said, hey, we wrote an ebook. And I was like, oh God, okay, shoot it over. Because I know that they wrote it in 30 seconds. And I read through it, and it's as simple as something like, henceforth and therefore out thou. It's like, oh my gosh, where do we like dip into Shakespeare on this?
I mean, mine always loves to say, in a dynamic world, to open every sentence. It likes to make references to symphony or captain of a ship. And I'm like, good God, can we be any more pedantic? Like,
oh my God, totally.
I have in my custom instructions, like, never, ever, ever say these words ever for any reason. Because, like, don't get me wrong, I love ChatGPT. I love what AI can do for me. I'm an early adopter by nature.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that we have a real problem with AI literacy. Mm-hmm. In yes. the not only the general public, but the business public. So I was on TikTok yesterday, like I pretty much always am. And someone had posted that they had uploaded a screenshot of something about the bombings that are happening in Iran right now. And yep. ChatGPT said, oh, well, that's a fake screenshot because there's nothing in the news about bombings in Iran. And everyone's like, oh, my God, ChatGPT is so censored right now. And what they're not realizing is that it's only trained on through like 2021. So, of course, it doesn't understand. They're like, it doesn't even know who the president is. Of course it doesn't, because it thinks it's 2021. It only has reference yeah. through 2021 if you're using the free version and you don't have like the deep research version. But yep. you have people in the chat who do not understand that.
Right.
So that they're like spreading this idea that ChatGPT is, you know, censored and everybody can't believe what they're seeing in their chat. Well, you can't, because it's trained up through 2021. And anything that happened after 2021, it doesn't know about unless you tell it about it. Exactly. So I think that we have to really develop some literacy and curiosity and understanding how things work so we can do them better than we would otherwise. Because if you don't know how it works, you're never going to use it to its full effect.
Yeah. And I think that one of the, someone told me the other day, they're like, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to use any of the AI stuff because, you know, it's not going, I feel like my brain's not working anymore. And I feel like it's just, everything is too easy. And quite frankly, that's a scary element of it, because people that are switched on like you and I, that are naturally curious, but also have seen enough things come and go in our time that we understand that you don't put all your eggs into one basket ever. You always diversify, and that's how you can always survive in a digital world. Hot tip there, folks. But, you know, it worries me that I see other people using it as a North Star truth, with no training, with nothing. And especially, like you're saying, even with learning up until 2021, it doesn't know anything about you. So if you're asking it, what's the best way to lose weight before my beach vacation or something that's right. a hot urge tip right around now, it's going to give you whatever is the ideal in 2021 for a person that they don't know and the average public. So what if you have pre-existing conditions? There's so many things that you don't know. Now take that and put that into a customer relationship. You know, I use GPT a lot because what I want to do, and this is another, I mean, talking about training it. When you train it, this is what you can get. I was writing an email, and we all know we've been in that, I'm sure you have too, like been in a situation where you're writing an email and you're trying to muster the emotion that you need, but something else is taking you and your energy in a different direction. I use it to get the tone that I want when I can't access it within me. And it really, and I'm not saying make this more compassionate. Give me a hook on this. Engage them more. Get them to click. I mean, come on. That's like marketing 101 crap. I want to make them feel seen. I want to make my clients understand that I've got them. I want them to feel excited. I want them, if they're having a bad day, I want to lift them up. That's part of it. You can use AI tools, Claude, ChatGPT, Perplexity, any of these, to get really great resources to do that. But I use it, I don't want to say I use it all the time to do that, but when it is trained the right way, it becomes just like your wingman or wing person. You know, it can do whatever you want and help you out in times when you're a little bit, because I mean, as an agency owner, I have to be like schizophrenic, right? Because I have to be a different person for every single conversation that I have, not because of a different personality, but everyone communicates differently. And I am not going to bulldoze in with my communication style. I acquiesce and kind of meet people where they are. So if that's how my approach is, I need to make sure that my AI tool can mimic that. And it's not going to do it if I just log on to something for the first time with an unpaid version and just say, be me.
Right.
That's just impossible.
Well, and like in, God, it was a long time ago now, like late 2020, when it was before there was even a paid version.
Yep.
I had fallen into what I'll call like hustle TikTok, right? Everyone's like, here's a side hustle. And I had dabbled with some affiliate marketing and I didn't understand AI at the time. It was very, very new to the public.
Yep.
And I remember being like, write me an affiliate marketing article about blah, blah, blah. And it was all wrong. And it didn't sound right. And now I went back, I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing that I actually posted that and thought other people would be like, yeah, this is good stuff. But one of the things, I had a guest on a couple of months ago who said, making decisions on the average will keep you average. And I think you kind of, you said almost the exact same thing, right? This is an average of the entire human's population of internet writing since, you know, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are just expecting it to understand you as a person, your clients, the different brand voices that you have to speak to, you're going to get the average of humanity rather than the specific personalized experience that people have come to expect.
Absolutely. If you're looking at it, I mean, if you're like, okay, write a blog about AI and it writes a blog about AI, but then I'm going to be using that. I could be writing that from two different perspectives. I could be a pet food company and I could be a SaaS client that is focusing on higher education. Those
right.
are like apples and
vastly different.
I mean, like
apples and peaches is right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's nuts. So if I'm going in, just think about it. I could walk in as the unskilled AI user in both of those scenarios, ask that question and get the same result. So then if I go and I get that and I post that onto my blog, I'm not talking to anybody that's relevant.
Right.
I'm talking to, it's a milquetoast average article that doesn't make any sense, doesn't have any hook points or any emotional connections, which is what I think is one of the biggest and most important parts of the client relationship. And I feel that when people that don't wake up to this soon are going to get kind of laughed at and criticized, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that it, like, people are like, oh my God, yeah, I have a blog. I have like tons of followers and all kinds of subscribers. And I put out an email every single day. And everyone's like, how do you do that? And they're like, well, I have an AI assistant. Okay, well, let's look at your writing in about 2 months after everybody knows what bad average writing is. And what are you going to do? You've created this whole engine based on some stuff that's non-substantiated. And then what if you're called out on any of that content that you're putting out that you aren't reviewing? You're just like, knows what it is. It's a computer. Come on. It knows it all. You're going to really get it bitten in the butt in the end, because it does hurt your credibility. It does make you look super disingenuous to your audience. Like, that is probably one of the biggest things I've seen. Just that non-authentic vibe that comes through some of the content. Like, someone that is not a thought leader that somebody suddenly becomes a thought leader with lots of thoughts. And it's just like, who the hell's giving you these thoughts? Like, when did you start?
When did you develop thoughts?
No, I talked to you on the phone and you couldn't even hold a conversation. So what happens now? Like, you're suddenly hosting a podcast where you're reading the AI transcript off on the podcast. Oh my God, shoot me. It's like, it's frustrating, but you know, it's, anytime there's an advance of technology, as an early adopter, which I totally respect the same way, because I like to see how things are going to work so I can see if I can, it's going to help my agency and also my clients or my personal life. You never know.
Yeah.
And with this tool in particular, I was scared at the people that were looking for the fast dopamine hit of getting things done. That's the problem. So when in my team, personally, we had some meetings on this. Because all the creative people were against it, which tends to be the case, because they feel like it's going to replace them. Number one, anybody that's listening to the sound of my voice or looking at me semi-smiling right now, AI is not going to replace you unless your boss doesn't know what AI is. And if your boss doesn't know what AI is, they're going to go, oh, you're $500,000 and you write all of our blogs, or this is like $10 a month. So yeah. But that boss is the same boss that's going to outsource all of the account managers to the Philippines or India.
Yeah. All your BDRs are going to be AI BDRs and SDRs. Yeah,
totally. Like, that's the if people, you know, who's going to do this because they've done it before. You know, it's the person that comes in and it's the boss that comes back from a conference and blows up the entire marketing strategy because a keynote speaker said something that caught his attention.
Right.
The one
who makes decisions on vibes and gut feel rather than actual thoughtful strategy.
Exactly. And I have a saying, and I'll say it again. If it's a gut feeling, it's indigestion. Go on facts and go on history. Learn what you're going to do. Yeah. You think, because my gut feeling about something is not maybe my client's gut feeling. So maybe they're a little bit more risk adverse. Maybe I'm feeling more risky. We're emotional beings. So gut feelings aren't always the best. I mean, they can give you an indicator as to where you can then start looking for more data to substantiate that gut feeling. I mean, I hate going into all of this like it's a big process, but internally it is, because we both get, I mean, I'm sure you do. You get a feeling when something's off. But then what do? I kind of like nose around a little bit. I like put on my detective cap and try to figure out what's going on. And then it might be just how I was feeling that day, or I was really sensitive when I came across that problem or whatever. But yeah, I think it's going, and even talking about the real data element of it. If you are trying to support your customers and trying to fortify customer relationships, and you are just like pumping information through without reviewing, you could be leading them down the wrong road. You could be browning them off. And in some cases, if you are that tone deaf to that part of the conversation, you're probably tone deaf to this part of the conversation where they're actually telling you how they feel.
So, Christopher, thinking about all of the incredible people that you know, that you've had a chance to meet or that you follow or you listen to, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to, and who is leading the charge?
Okay, so I gave this a lot of thought when you posed this pre-us getting together, and I've looked at it like I know all the thought leaders, and I do look at them for tips and tricks and whatever. But there was one person that I worked with many years ago when I was just coming up, and I was working actually in the music industry. So one thing is I actually once I graduated from college in like the 1800s, I moved over to London, England, and I worked in the music industry for a little while. And it's a very interesting business, if anyone's worked in there. It's a very cutthroat, very backstabby, and not a great place for someone like me, because I have a very low tolerance for that. And also, I really value people and humans. And so it didn't really work well for me. So I worked at a job afterwards. And it was basically a music college. And one of the managers there had such an amazing approach to the customers, which were the students, I mean, because it was a music college, but the students, their parents and everything. And what they said is that we're not looking for sales and closing opportunities. We're looking for real long-term value. And we're looking for long-term value in every communication and relationship. So everything that we do is seeding our future and preparing for our future. And that fed me in so many ways, because what I liked about that is that feeds the culture of the organization that you're working in. And also, it doesn't look at the people as numbers that you got to hit. Because whenever you're in a business scenario, one of the things is your customers do end up being numbers. Numbers on a spreadsheet, numbers on a report, KPIs that you have to work against. And the more they become that, and I understand there's huge international multi-billion-dollar companies that it kind of can get like that. But there are teams that are engaging that audience still through social, through email, through digital content in general, as well as many other ways. But what I loved about that approach was that it was understanding things from the long term, not the short term. Not just looking at, let's fix this problem and say, oh, thank you. Glad I got your question answered. See you next time, baby. No, it's more about let's kind of feed this so we can continue this conversation for a long time. So the bad part about this story is that I don't remember her name. So I would give her a big shout out, but I don't remember her name. I was still in my mid to late 20s. So there's things that could have happened to make me forget her name. But I would say all in all, it stuck with me. And it is definitely something that I do when I am onboarding a new client, even when I'm talking to somebody in a networking event. I'm not going in to just say, hey, Chris Tompkins, digital marketing. Have you heard about digital marketing? Hey,
right. Like, right.
Not that. It's more along the lines of, what are you about? What's going on? And trying to do that connection, because spending a little bit of time on that connection will deliver many meals in the future if you can just approach it from a human, real way. So that's kind of my person. I think that philosophy is something that is highly applicable to many people out there and how they're looking at their audience. Because as soon as people start being numbers, you lose the connective tissue that helps you shape their opinions, help support them, help meet them where they are. You then kind of start elevating yourself so that advice can become condescending, and it just creates that disconnect.
Yeah. That might be your second hot take, right? Like, actually be a human and give a damn about other people is, unfortunately, shouldn't be a hot take. But if you've ever been to a networking event, you can just tell when people have, they've got a script in their head, they've got an agenda they want to get through, and it doesn't really matter who you are on the other side of the handshake. And people can tell, right? We know when that happens.
Exactly. Because, and I mean, no, nothing negative to salespeople out there. But as a marketer who has to clean up your crap all the time, I would say that, no, just kidding. Not really.
I love it.
But but yeah, you know, it's, you can tell when a salesperson loves people and loves talking people. And then you can also tell when a salesperson loves money.
Yeah.
And you can do the same thing with organizations. You can tell when they are just turn and burn or when they really, really care about the work that they do. Like, I could have very easily gone to an absolutely huge, like, international conglomerate of marketing agency or a brand and then went in there and climbed the ladder. But I rather enjoy the work that I do rather than trying to pigeonhole myself into what I feel like I need to be in big corporate life. So I'm actually doing things that I love. So I try to be transparent with that energy so I can let everybody enjoy that as well, because it's part of the experience. But if you are coming off as with a transactional outlook with a rehearsed pitch, oh my God, because we've all heard these pitches and it's just like, oh my God. It's almost like, I always think of, like, this is terrible, but like a typewriter typing and then just going, after they've done with a sentence, it's flat, like, it's like you can
just
tell.
See that happening behind their eyes, right?
Yeah. It's like if you've ever, like, left the closed captioning on your TV for some reason, and then you stop watching the action, you just look at the words. I kind of feel like I do that with people like that. But yeah, I know. I really do think that approaching humans as humans is a really great way to level the playing field. You can still have authority. You can still have expertise. You can still have whatever. But we're all emotional creatures. And especially if you're if you're focusing on customer service, there's so, like, a prime example. We got an email the other week from a client, and I read the email, and that email was not the client. It wasn't AI. I'm not going back to our earlier conversation. It was actually written by them, and it was sent late at night. And I read it, and I was just like, something's wrong with them. Not because, like, something's wrong with them, I'm great. No, it's right. Like something's going on.
It's just
on.
A little off, right?
A little off. And what I do is, what I like to do anytime I'm handling customers is, and this is something with the LTV, I like to mirror the client and like ask them questions and then also label them. So it's as, hey, I got this email. I'm really concerned. It made me feel really upset. Is everything okay? You seem very upset. Is there anything that I can do? And I got a response back to that email, and it said, oh, I'm just really sorry. I was having a rough day. My kid crashed the car. I had to go
right.
And it's just like, oh, okay. Well, don't worry about it. Water under the bridge. Let's move on. But guess what? When my team read it, they were like, oh my God, Chris is going to fire me. We're going to lose the campaign.
Right.
It's
And it's small things like that, though, that to bring it back to the original conversation, like, if AI is going to streamline our task list, then being human becomes a premium. And now we have to figure out how do we make sure that we use that time in the right way and the right approach and let AI do the other stuff that we can't do so we can be human and be people.
Yeah, exactly. Because you want to streamline those types of engagements as much as you can in intelligent manners so that you can cover more people if you do have a high volume. But you never want to lose that one-on-one personal touch, no matter how big.
So speaking of one-on-one personal touch, if someone is really connecting with you, if they love what they're hearing, they want to learn more about you or your work or, you know, your other hot takes, where can they find you online?
Well, if that is true, I'm very flattered. And I would urge you, if you are looking to just get some of my marketing knowledge and kind of tap into my experience, my website's probably the best for my agency, and it's gosalesandmarketing.com. That's gosalesandmarketing.com. And on that website, on our website, we currently have an AI guide. So it's a really cool guide just to kind of show you how you can use AI thinking and AI reasoning for different elements of your business. And it's free. You have to give me your email address. Come on. I mean, nothing's free in this world, but that's as free as it gets. I'm not going to kill you with information. Also, on the website, you can sign up for my podcast has a newsletter that goes out twice a week, which with tons of hot takes as well. And that's on there with my podcast. But really, if you want to connect with me in a way where we have a conversation where you don't feel like, oh, I'm connecting to him through his website, that's kind of weird. LinkedIn. Send me a LinkedIn request. Say, I heard you on the podcast. I have a couple questions. I love connecting with people. Like, I'm not blowing smoke on anybody here. I really do like talking to people. So if there's anything that I could do, give you a piece of advice, or even shoot you a prompt for your AI tool that could help you move it forward and get some understanding, just ask me. I'm here to help.
Awesome. Thanks, Christopher, for joining me on the Growth Signal.
Yeah. Thanks, Alyssa. It's been great.